We'll start the Board of Directors meeting for North Lincoln Fire and Rescue District. Today is November 12th, 2025. Will we please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Nice.
That was a good one.
Do we have any public comments?
No.
That came in, mail or emails?
No, we need to do a roll call first. And also state, make the statement that the board meeting is being recorded.
Okay.
Okay.
I gave the date. This board meeting is being recorded. Roll call, please.
Nancy Oxenholt.
Here.
Tim Beatty is absent. Eric Creighton.
Here.
Jerry Warner.
Here.
And Dan Drayton is absent.
No, there were no public.
Comments?
There were no comments received by phone, mail, or email.
Did y'all look at the minutes? Any corrections to the minutes?
Make a motion to accept the minutes.
Second.
Hey, Jerry and Eric.
All in favor for roll call?
Okay, so Nancy Oxenholt.
Yes.
Tim Beatty is absent. Eric Creighton.
Yes.
Jerry Warner.
Yep.
Dan Drayton is absent. Motion passed.
And I have Secretary Treasurer reviewed the banking reconciliation I reviewed. I also did an audit. I didn't know that I had to print it off, but I did it with Dorothy, and we looked up two accounts, and they were all in check. Next month, they'll be printed.
No, next quarter.
Next quarter.
January's meeting, yep.
January.
You'll do it for a third quarter, and then January's what the policy says.
Nancy, for the record, what two accounts did you look at? Do you remember?
Yes, Pacific.
Power?
Power and gas.
Northwest?
Northwest Gas.
Okay, thank you.
Have you guys looked at the financial reports? Would you like to comment, Chief?
Sure, we're 33%, so about a third into the year. See anything that is out of line? I mean, the only items here, so page three has medical costs. We've been running quite a number of new volunteers through. Temporary employees, that's come and gone, so those folks have been paid and moved. That's why that one's at 45%. Workers' comp on page four, 60%, because that was paid up front in one lump sum. Total personnel services were at 34%, at 33% in the year. I think that has to do a little bit with overtime. Our overtime is right at 34. Hopefully that'll back off a little bit. As you get into materials and services, bank charges and office supplies are a bit over. Bank charges will continue to be over until we can get a little better handle on the Melio payments and make sure people are doing ACHs, because that's $1.50 every time. It really wasn't put into this budget. I thought that would be taken care of. Software programs at 45%. That's because, again, we paid for some annual fees on those software programs. If you go to page seven, the Otis Fire Stations, Ocean Lake Stations at 62%, D Lake Station 66%, and Otis, because of the roofings, at 95%. And we'll talk about it in my report later, but there's going to be some other significant spending on Station 15 due to some issues. So we're quite a bit over in our building maintenance stuff. Apparatus repairs at 37% and vehicle fuels at 39%. I'm hoping with fuel prices coming down, we can level that out a little bit with those. Apparatus repair, again, that's because of some significant things that we had, the $32,000 for the one engine and stuff like that. So I guess it really comes down to page 10. So total public safety expenditures were at 23% at 33% of the year, so we're still 10% under where we're supposed to be.
You have volunteer recruitment at 75%. How much is a...
What page is that?
Not nine.
Volunteer recruitment, 75%.
How much do we, what is our cost for one volunteer to go through?
So volunteer recruitment is what we can do out in the public to get them. And that was a banner that was put together by the district and it's put out at...
The high school football stadium and the gym.
Okay.
Says, hey, come join our department. So that's just...
Is there a minimum age?
18 to be certified through DPSST. Our student program will allow you to be here at 16, but they can't do any active firefighting. So that recruitment is just that. It's just recruiting. It's not paying for anything other than just, hey, come join us. We put a newspaper ad up or something like that, you know, those kinds of things.
Are they insured right away too and to get into the program?
Yes, yeah. Workers' comp takes over right away. See any other questions?
Nope, it's in either that batch.
Okay.
Anybody have any questions on any of the spending? We'll need a motion to approve.
I'll so move.
Second.
Roll call.
Roll call. Nancy Oxenholt?
Yes.
Tim Beatty absent. Eric Creighton?
Yes.
Jerry Warner?
Yep.
Dan Drayton is absent, and the motion passes.
Thank you. Nothing in budget, nothing in old business, new business. Item review, policy 8.2, time off.
So we, it should be 8.5, not 8.2.
It says 8.2, just after.
I know, but the policy itself says 8.5.
Okay, 8.5.
Sorry about that. I have to check somebody's work a little better next time.
Right.
So you can see the changes that are in green on there. A few of those changes were, it kind of started with the bereavement leave one, and we're going to make them fill out a request form to take bereavement leave, because then we also, you see at the bottom there, that they have a certain amount of time in which they need to take that. It's not like, hey, grandma died a year and a half ago, and we're going to have a party for her today, so I'd like... No, it has to be done within 60 days, and that falls in line with what OFLA and paid leave Oregon says can happen with that. And then the rest of the updates in green on page 6 talks about reasons for taking OFLA leave. OFLA is one of those things that's just a moving target. Every few months they come up with some different things. And again, on page 7, if they want to take time off under OFLA, they've got to fill out the proper forms with us. That stuff wasn't indicated before. So that's the main stuff that's in there.
Who does the negotiating on these, setting these, any change in here?
Any change in here? These are district policies, so the district, we don't negotiate any of
that. Oh, okay.
Yep.
District, huh?
Yeah, this is the district's policy manual. Mm-hmm. If it's something that would fall under their contract, that would be a mandatory subject to bargaining, that would be me that would go to the union and talk about things like that.
Okay.
There are certain things that they can bargain and certain things they can't. This bereavement policy, we're following state law. Mm-hmm. They don't get a choice. So.
Okay.
That's all of that.
I think the last page was 14. If PLO changes to medical leave, what is PLO?
Paid leave Oregon, we're just taking that out. We're saying just medical leave. It doesn't matter what it falls under. We're not going to be specific about it.
Okay. Any questions on that? I need a motion to approve.
I also move.
Second.
You second?
Sure.
Roll call.
Okay, Nancy Oxenholt?
Yes.
Tim Beatty is absent. Eric Creighton?
Yes.
Jerry Warner?
Yep.
Dan Drayton is absent, and the motion passes.
Item number two, resolution 2025-09, natural hazards mitigation plan.
So we were asked, so the county went through an evaluation of natural hazards that occur, and in order to support the county and University of Oregon in their plan that has been put together, we have to understand that we were part of that plan. We participated. They went and looked at our infrastructure and things that might have an issue here. So it's just kind of it allows them to say, along with us, but every county and every fire district, they participated. And then when they go out and ask for federal grant money to help mitigate some of this stuff, that we're all in agreement that it needs to come together. So they actually sent this to us in a draft form, and we, you know, we put our, it's like fill your name in here kind of stuff. And although we will pass it now, it also says in the email that because of the government shutdown, they're going to be caught up on, we won't get a confirmation that our plan and has been approved by the federal government. But this is part of having that approval by the federal government as well. So it's pretty simple.
And it's from the county, right?
This is the Lincoln County Multi-Jurisdictional Natural Hazards Mitigation Plan.
Okay. Any questions?
I don't know if this falls under that category, but who is the ultimate responsible person or group for the maintaining the sirens?
The city of Lincoln City.
It's the city, huh?
Yep, we gave all that stuff.
And what is the latest on that? Have they?
Yeah, they've got budgeted money this year, and they're going to do some replacements.
They still haven't repaired them?
Yeah, they have to buy new ones. The one at D River's frozen.
Didn't they budget $200,000?
I have no idea. That's
you said it's frozen?
Yeah, the one at D River's, it won't rotate. It doesn't even work anymore.
Mm-hmm.
The one up in Rhodes End is an old one still from the Trojan Nuclear Power Plant, mm-hmm. and I don't even think it operates. The one we know that operates occasionally is mm-hmm. the one at the TAF station.
So theoretically, the fire department has no interest whatsoever.
Nothing, nope.
Emergency preparedness is the one that took them over for mm-hmm. the city.
Yeah.
At one time, we used to take care of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but
I think it's a good idea not for mm-hmm. us to do that.
Yeah, we need to get out of this business. So again, on this thing, so all agencies within all Lincoln County, all the cities within the county, and all special districts are the ones that are doing the same resolution.
Okay, need a motion? We already do that one?
No. I'll so move.
I'll second.
So Jerry.
Roll call.
So Nancy Oxenholt?
Yes.
Tim Beatty is absent. Eric Creighton?
Yes.
Jerry Warner? Okay, and Dan Drayton is absent, and the motion passes.
Item three is declare 2001 HME pumper tender surplus, VIN number ending in 9475. And you want to put that up for sale?
Yeah. So the first part of this is because this is a value of more than $20,000, the fire chief does not have the authority to declare it surplus. That has to come from the board of directors. This was one of the vehicles that was identified by our apparatus committee as being old, and let's get rid of it. Now, the good thing about it is we have an offer on it already. It's significantly more than $20,000. So we need to declare it surplus, mm-hmm. and then the next one will be, we'll talk about the approval of selling it to Brindle Mountain Fire Apparatus. So,
how much is it worth, do we know?
They're offering us $70,000 for it.
Do we know what it's worth?
$70,000.
Whoever's buying.
I'm shocked.
Could you describe that truck again? I missed.
So it's a pumper tender. So it's just like a regular engine, but it's mm-hmm. got dual axles in the back, and it holds 20 800 gallons of water, I believe. And it's, we've had some issues with it in the recent past, over the past year. We had it on one fire that it wouldn't even go into pump. And so it's, we feel it's not dependable. And it's old enough that we don't want to put the money in to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
If they want to buy it because of the chassis and the length and the condition of the vehicle, and they want their mechanics to go through and try and find out why it wouldn't go into pump, that's on them. It did recently pass its pump test. One of the things that we have to do, and we'll talk about the next time, is we have to replace one tire because the tires can't be more than 7 years old. So one of the front tires for $500 we have to replace.
Mm.
So, and it also, being as old as it is, we have a replacement plan that was adopted by the board that says when things get this old, we want to get rid of them.
Mm-hmm.
And this engine is at its life.
And what is the year on this truck?
2001, I think it says here.
2001.
Yep.
Need a motion to approve the selling of the tanker?
Well, it's 70,000.
Yes.
And also move.
Second.
Roll call.
Nancy Oxenholt?
Yes.
Tim Beatty is absent. Eric Creighton?
Yes.
Jerry Warner?
Mm-hmm.
Dan Creighton is absent, and the motion passes.
So now you'll put this out for sealed bids, is that what you do? Or?
No, we...
they already got it.
So we already have a purchase offer, so that's the next thing on our agenda here.
But he did both in one motion.
We declared it surplus.
Okay.
That was the motion should be that we're just declaring.
Now we will request approval for selling the 2001 HME Pemper tender VIN number ending in 9475 to Brindley Mountain Fire Apparatus. Where are they? Brindley Mountain.
Alabama.
Alabama.
Yeah, they're going to come out and get it too. So they're kind of the same one. So we sold that Heavy Rescue. We went through them also, but they found a buyer for it. They're going to purchase this themselves, take it back to their shop and go through it and then sell it. So for sale of public property, the best way I can put it from our attorneys is you can sell it however it best benefits the fire district.
Is that right?
Yeah, they don't give you any specifics. If you want to hang on to it and try and get sealed bids like you said, or do you want to go down to the local car dealership and say, hey, what do you give us for it? It depends on how fast you need the money, where you think you're going to get the best pricing, anything. So our attorneys have said, however, whatever you think best benefits the district.
Okay, well, some reason I thought state, you have to bid on things, but I didn't know about this.
So if we were to take it to a state surplus, and they'll only take vehicles from us now, they don't take, we used to be able to take tables, chairs, anything like that. They've said, no, they have enough of their own crap. So they'll only take vehicles. The last time I took an engine or wanted to take an engine down there, I wanted to get $10,000 for it, and he laughed at me and said, you'll be good, lucky if you get five. And this was of the same, well, this was, we used to have the old T&D, the green engine that we had that was still left here. That was a 97 or 95. Had less than 30,000 miles on it. And they laughed, and we weren't going to get shit for it. So we took it to it was the best place to sell it at the point in time. They took it, and a tribe out of Arizona bought it and took it back and sent us a picture of what it looked like later. So anyway, so we have this offer from Brindle Mountain. We think it's a very fair offer. Again, all we have to do is spend $500 for a tire, so we'd get $70,000.
Well, I'll show them.
I'll second.
Okay, Nancy Oxenholt?
Yes.
Tim Beatty is absent. Eric Creighton?
Yes.
Jerry Warner?
Yes.
And Dan Creighton is absent, and the motion passes.
And we still strip off the hose and all those other things. That doesn't go with it, so we get that kind of stuff. So my question to the board after that is, who do you want to sign? Are you going to permit me to sign on our behalf of this contract, or do you want Mr. Beatty to do it when he gets?
What's the normal?
Whatever you want to do.
I think Mr. Beatty's busy, so you could sign it.
Okay.
It's been approved, so.
Okay, as long that gets noted in the
Minutes.
Minutes, then you've authorized me to sign the contract for this. Okay.
Moving on to item number five, review quotes and a select purchase of the new Type 6 brush engine. That is in your book. Now, this is not the one we're already buying, correct?
No.
Is this another one?
No, this is a smaller brush truck. So we were, again, as we're going through replacement of this, the apparatus committee identified this as being the Ford 6.0 liter that we've had a lot of issues with. It's reached the end of its life expectancy, to be honest with you.
How old, what year is it?
This is a 2000, where is it on here? 2003.
Okay. Probably still low mileage, huh?
Less than 40,000, so we're probably at about 37,000 miles on it. But it's had new heads put on it, and it's had some fuel.
We melted down two turbos right out of the bay. I mean, just by letting it idle.
Mm. So.
It was really not a great deal.
It was not a good idea to purchase that motor with this.
No.
So.
It was horrible.
So our plan here is we're going to replace that with this purchase, and then we're going to be able to sell that 2003 plus one more vehicle that they're using at a rescue at Rose Lodge. So essentially buy one more, sell two more. So we're working hard to reduce our fleet, that's for mm-hmm. sure. The committee looked at several different options everything from us purchasing a chassis, building it ourselves. If you do something like that, it doesn't come with any warranties or anything like that. It's like, oh, you didn't do it right. Sorry, it's on you. So this is what we have six. Yeah, so there's our build, there's Midwest 1-2, Cascade has two, Hughes has one, and then C-Western has one. You can see all the pricing down there at the bottom. Cody's the one who went through and put all this together, so if you got any questions about it, I defer off to him so he can explain. And the reason we had to go through this process where we got this is what we're recommending is that we buy one of the Midwest ones. If you're not part of the buying group, you have to go through this process. And so they're only with Sourcewell, and we're not a member of Sourcewell. We're a member of League of Oregon Cities and HGAC, which is Houston Galveston. And so those are the only two that were. So if we had a vehicle that we were purchasing from somebody that had gone through their process, we could outright buy it and not go through that selective bid process. This, because we're not Sourcewell, and that's who the one we're recommending, and we had to come back with several bids so that you could evaluate them. And
being kind of stupid here on some of these stuff, but the committee that you're referring to that reviews this, makes the decision, who's on that committee?
Eric, Tim.
Dave and Cody?
Dave, Cody, myself, Eric, and Tim.
Okay.
Eric and Tim have both been firefighters.
Mm-hmm. So we looked at it, and I'll let Cody talk about which ones.
Yeah.
Advantages and disadvantages besides price.
The price is the big thing, and then time frame to actually get it here. Midwest knows 1 and 2 really are the same truck. Mm-hmm. The only difference between the two is the extended cab and the crew cab, which you would think the crew cab would be more expensive, but they actually have it sitting in stock right there. It's getting ready to be built. So they were able to give us the old price on it. So my opinion, and I think from the committee's opinion, is probably the best choice with the warranty on it. It's a F550 chassis, crew cab. The tank on it comes with a lifetime warranty, so we don't have to worry about that.
What's the pump capacity, GPM?
Gallons per minute, yeah.
400 gallons per minute?
Yep.
It'll shoot out?
Theoretically.
And then the tank gas?
Yep.
And like a
minute. Wow. That's funny, because
that's what
I marked.
Good pump.
Yeah. So. It's not not one of those that has every bell and whistle you can get. In fact, none of these are.
You don't need that.
Nope. It's not a truck where, you know, we're in a lot, right? We're, might go out on conflict, something for around here for wildland fires. Has four-wheel drive capabilities.
Why is it only an eight? Oh, that's the build time.
That's the build time.
What is the warranty on them? Is there a warranty?
So the chassis is warranted by Ford.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so that'll be its standard warranty based on what? So, you know, the motors are, you know, so it's usually 3 years, 36,000 miles.
Okay.
And then depending upon the transmission and the motor, they'll have a higher warranty on the drivetrain as it goes with it. The pump is warranted by the pump manufacturer. As Cody said, the tank is lifetime.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I know some concern was maintenance, you know, if it needs to go back. So Midwest has a deal because they don't have their one shop person, right?
Where are they?
Minnesota.
No.
Hmm.
But so they have a deal, and I've seen this at other places, is they will basically sign a contract with you that if you take it to
somewhere else,
where Hughes Fire, they will work with them to pay for that warranty work through that. So you don't have to get all the way back to them.
Haven't you taken trucks to Tillamook up there to have them worked on?
No. We've taken stuff to the county shops here, Lincoln County shops.
Oh. I could have swore I saw one of your trucks in Tillamook. It's been some time ago.
Maybe 10 years ago we used to go up there.
For diesel.
Dave McKee took a couple of them up there, like that old expedition we had. He took that up there. But it's been a while.
Yeah, I know it hasn't been recent, but I'm just curious whether, I thought maybe because it's a diesel that you'd take it up there because they do a lot more diesel work up there.
Yeah. Well, again, the chassis, the cab, the chassis and the motor, we can all take it down to Newport to the Ford dealership or over to McMinnville or something like that. I take it to McMinnville, these guys.
So in essence, this one will only cost approximately $107,000 because we're getting $70,000 from the other pumper.
I hope you wouldn't look at it that way. It's going to cost us $178,000. My plan is to, behind the scenes, when the money comes in from these other things, is apply it in different areas. We do have some bond money that's left over. We have approximately $220,000 in bond money that we'll use for part of this. And then when we sell the other vehicles, we can refurbish that. So you can't specifically say that we're using this money to buy that because we have not made a motion, received the money to put it into that account yet.
Oh, I will then.
You have to follow the rules, Nancy, please.
All right, that sounds good. Everybody liked Midwest one then?
That's the one that the committee recommended that we go forward with. And payment-wise, they want the chassis money as soon as we sign the contract and the balance when the vehicle's delivered.
How much is the chassis?
About $60,000.
Yeah, give or take.
Okay.
So we'll use that $70,000 for that.
One thing that I know Chief will mention when you guys go to make a motion is...
So we want a motion for this, and if you're going to use that price, add 10% contingency money onto that. So we're going to need 10% more to outfit this for putting radios into it and buying tires for it when it gets here, because it's going to come with highway tires. We're using it as an off-road piece of equipment going up on gravel dirt roads.
Yeah, so it will be a few things.
So I would make the motion that it's 178 plus add another 17 or 10% plus a 10% contingency. You don't have to be you don't have to be exact. You can say for that purchase price plus 10% contingency.
And that money will come out of the $200,000 that we have.
Yeah, they'll come out
sort
of the bond
extra.
Money that we already have, yes.
All right, I need a motion to approve, review the quote, select purchase of the new Type 6 brush engine with 10% contingency fee.
I'll make a motion.
I'll second it.
Okay, so Nancy Oxenthal?
Yes.
Tim Beatty is absent. Eric Creighton?
Yes.
Jerry Warner?
Yep.
Dan Drayton is absent, and the motion passes.
Thank you, Cody, for doing that.
It was a group effort.
Local union report?
No.
Committee staff, first, Dave?
You got a safety committee report in front of you there first.
Well, there's nothing there. This safety committee that was held on October 20th, 2025. Where six people attended. Oh, I had a question. What accidents reports were reviewed?
Let's see, we reviewed.
I would assume it's workers?
Yep, we reviewed a back injury, a laceration. And an eye injury.
Okay. Thank you. Now we can move to Dave's report.
I'll just hit a couple of high notes real quick and then get moving through. So you can see all the training for the crews there. You can see the Monday night drills. One of note, fire behavior on October 27th. We burned a dollhouse that the guys constructed. It's a very, very helpful drill in demonstrating fire behavior, and it's a good way for us to get some live fire without actually having anybody in a burning building. Certifications, we've seen quite a few of them there. One of note, Chief Height there received his task force leader certification this month. So,
congratulations.
Nice job. You can see the meetings and significant events that we had there. I've broken down a couple of our non-EMS responses so you can kind of see a 1,000-foot view of what we're doing as far as response types goes. And then nothing much changing on my projects that I'm working on currently. So I attached a letter that Chief Broderick with the police department sent us with regards to our cooperation on that fellow that decided he wanted to run from the police in the bay. So.
Very nice. Anybody have any questions? You look like you have a lot of cars down in that. How many cars are down there now?
I think I got five of them down there right now. And we're halfway through one of them. As soon as I can get a ship to finish up with the one that they're working on, and we can work on scheduling the other crews to get into a couple of other cars. So once they're done, we're going to have the crews take a picture with the cars, and Chief Height's going to put them on social media. We're going to thank the folks that donated the cars by name on social media. And we hope that that's going to spur more donations coming our way so we can get the guys cutting on cars on a regular basis.
Good. Good learning. Cody's report.
The only thing I'm going to add or change, put the light parade in Santa tentatively for December 12th. I've actually decided not to do that this year. Had some things come up. So we'll plan on that for next year. But other than that, crews be down there for Deck of the Dock here on the 22nd, and then Chief Bickerdike's toy and food delivery program.
Yep, that's a big one.
Yep.
Can you comment on the fire at the other night?
Yeah, so we went down
behind the Nazarene Church.
Yeah, on Wednesday. Yeah. no, Tuesday, yesterday. And went through and looked at some stuff and determined that from what I'm gonna guess is the power cord for the space heater was pinched and overheated and arced and caused the fire.
Did she lose everything?
I would say yes, she says no, so.
Okay. Oh, she lost her dog, so.
Yeah.
Structure total loss.
Thank you.
Saw her some of the contents.
Mr. Dolman, your report?
Well, because Tim's not here, I'll go into great detail.
Are you getting paid more by the hospital and a quicker response?
By Samaritan?
Yes.
Maybe. There's some outstanding stuff still there.
Okay.
Ambulance transport, 7 last month. There's some notable money that was received. So like I was talking about important building and equipment maintenance, so station 15, so the water heater was leaking. And it was coming out of the tank, out of the top, so that's probably about a $2,500 repair that has been completed already. When Bob was up there changing the filters out of the furnace, he noticed that it wasn't working and the circuit boards were all burned up. So we had Mr. Sawyer come look at it, and he said, nope, not gonna fix this. So Cushman's given us a proposal on a new furnace for that. So station 15, we're talking about $9,000 that's gonna go out this next month to make some things. So that's why that budget line item for repairs is we're unanticipated.
Is that with the Otis or Rose Lodge?
That's by the police station,
oh.
Station 15.
Aren't we gonna sell that?
Well, we're selling fire trucks first. Bob did clean all the roofs and gutters, all the stations, just so you know. He's also looked at generators when the power went out here out of notice a few days ago. A couple things that he just has to make sure are working and are up to date. We went around the stations before and after the storms here last week and didn't note anything that was going to create more of an issue. And that's actually board policy that we do that before the storm. So we look around and make sure that gutters are intact and things are gonna, you know, water away from the buildings and nothing's flapping in the wind. And then after the storms blow through, we're supposed to go out there again and look and see if anything happened. That's a board policy is from our insurance company to mitigate damages. So we don't just say, yeah, it's fine. We actually have to go out and look. There's a form that they have to take care of. Under vehicle repairs, it's not in here, but it's not our vehicle, but the state fire marshal's water tender that we have went to the shop today to have the flywheel bolts either replaced or verified that they're the right ones, because for some reason that's a recall that they found. So again, it's not our vehicle,
mm-hmm.
And it's
so they repair it.
The shop's repairing it that they're taking it to. So that went out today, so that's gone for a little bit. There are alarm responses, and you'll see on the back page that are there.
Mm-hmm.
So fire incidents or high acuity events. We had that lady that was caught in a sneaker wave at the mouth of the Sillettes. She was a kindergarten teacher from Corvallis. Her two kids and her parents were there, and her husband. Husband was able to pull his mother-in-law out and let his wife go.
Tell you something.
Yeah, well, she was a little further. I mean, let's be honest. Her body was found 3.5 miles south.
South.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and so there's, you know, the way that the currents work during the summer, it's a south current, and sometime in the next few weeks, it's going to switch to a north current for the winter.
Yeah, I was wondering.
But it was pretty strong, obviously.
Wow.
I don't think that there's much that anybody was going to do for that person to get them out just because of the sneaker waves and the high waves and all that
mm-hmm.
kind of stuff. So that was one of those high acuity. It was
mm-hmm.
on every news channel.
Mm-hmm.
It was on every social media thing. It was all over the place.
So we've lost our Coast Guard helicopter too now, haven't we?
Yep.
Well, they'll say yes and they'll say no. They won't tell us because it's a matter of national security that we don't know where the Coast Guard helicopters are. The military's not gonna tell us where they're stationing their assets. So if the helicopter's there, it happens to be there. If it's not, it's not.
Went to North Bend.
So it has, and so at the Fire Defense Board meeting, they've talked about it being there more often than not. But they're not gonna say, here's the schedule, and tell us, so.
The closest one is Astoria then, or still Bend?
It depends. So they've kind of moved the dividing line a little bit, and it depends on what you're requesting and why. So the H-60out of Astoria has a longer flight time to get here. It has a longer on-scene time because it's got more fuel, and it's got a heavier lift capability, it can take more people. The one that comes out of North Bend, if it's there, can get here a little bit sooner, but it has less capability. Now, the Coast Guard is in the process of getting rid of all those Dolphin helicopters that come out of North Bend or anyplace else in the country. They're moving to a 60 platform for everything. So by 2030, you won't see those helicopters. They're not even making parts for those helicopters anymore. When one goes down for maintenance, it ends up going into a scrapyard, and they're taking parts off of that to keep other ones in the air. So it's quite a shift with air operations with the Coast Guard. We also had an auto skateboard. This was a mutual aid with Depot Bay on the Siletz River Bridge. A kid was out there and got hit by a semi-truck. Whatever it was, midnight,
not
1
good.
O'clock in the morning, was out on a scooter or skateboard, whatever day it was.
Skateboard.
Okay. Not a scooter.
Not a scooter.
We did have an auto scooter accident that Dave wasn't involved in. That was at milepost 1 on Highway 18. Mm-hmm. And so she ended up with less injuries than Dave did.
True story.
It is true. Accounting audit update, so it's request for more documents. All the documents are done. Just to update you even more, the draft audit is completed.
No, they sent me a form to fill out again.
Okay, well, you better get filling.
How do you communicate to the staff that fraudulent and unethical behavior will not be tolerated? I will take your credit card away.
Did you just get that?
Yeah, another one. I already filled one out.
Well, then tell Kathy you've already filled one out, the same thing. Anyway, draft's been done. Letter from our attorney to them that we're not involved in any litigation has been completed and sent in. And the MD&A form I just approved yesterday from Kathy that shows where we are asset-wise and things like that. So we seem to be quite a bit ahead of where we were with last year's audit. I think that the new guy, Joel, there is really working hard to get us. I also sent since this is the last year that we have on our proposal from Polly Rogers to do audits. We had 3 years and going up is I wanted to lock them in for another 3-year contract. And so I sent that off, and they're going to get that to us so that we can have auditors and not be scrambling around.
Mm-hmm.
If you have an auditor, you need to hang on to them. Because if you say, oh, we'll find one, most of them will tell you, go pack sand. They're all too busy. And because they
unless you want to pay a lot of money.
Yeah, so in order to do ours. So I've got that coming, and I should have that in the next. I thought it would be here by today. Next the topic is our new IT provider. So contracts have been signed. They've been down here. They've evaluated our equipment. There's going to be some expenditures in some security issues that we need. That's why I attached in here the next 2 pages beyond that was the executive summary from FastTech on our vulnerability and things that we need to get fixed. They're working with GenX. GenX's contract with us ends on November 30th. FastTech will be our IT provider starting December 1st. They've had some back and forth with GenX over them unlocking and releasing things, but I think the conversation I had with FastTech yesterday, things are moving along okay, and he doesn't see any more issues with that happening. But we do have money in the budget. I predicted this was gonna happen. We also have a grant from Special District Cybersecurity Grant that we've applied for to help pay for the new firewalls that are gonna be installed, new switches and things like that. It's definitely not gonna pay for all of that stuff. It's only a 50-50 matching grant for $2,500, so we would put another 25 in, but we have money budgeted in other places. Our cybersecurity is, as you can see by what he wrote here, is
obsolete.
Yeah, we definitely need some help with that.
And we were paying these people how much a month, Gen X?
About $2,000 a month, but that wasn't paying for some of the hardware and things that they were putting in, right? So it wasn't the new switches, but they weren't coming to us and saying, hey, you need to budget
right,
for,
exactly.
Your planning needs to be for this. That's what FastTech's gonna do. They're looking at the equipment we have and say, look, next year you need to plan on budgeting to replace X number of computers. And so we can budget and plan ahead. Gen X did nothing like that for us. So you can see we're still hiring. So we still have one full-time on probation. The other one just got off. 18 active firefighters. So the other thing is on Monday, Krista onboarded 5 new volunteers, 4 firefighters, 1 support person. We also have about another 5 people that are attending drill nights and starting to submit applications. So we'll be boosting our group with that. Along with that, and David did mention this during his report, is that the plan is to hold a Firefighter One Academy in January. And that'll coincide also with the student program, because when we get these students on board, we're collecting those applications. Once they get all that stuff done, we'll be bringing 6 students, high school students, on. With that, we're also going to teach an EMR class within the department here that the students will take, that any of these other firefighters want to take, because the Oregon Health Authority will license an EMR at age 16 in the state of Oregon. Mm-hmm. To be an EMT, you have to be 18. So we're gonna put that together and have that.
So what's the EMR stand for?
Emergency Medical Responder.
Okay, so it can be
16.
EMR. Any of these ones you're bringing on, you mentioned 5, I think, are any of them female?
Of the new ones, yeah, one.
They have 1 or 2 now, right? Firefighters?
We have 2.
Yeah, they have 2.
And then one of the person that has 5 people that have started to come to drills, we have 1 female from that. Mm-hmm. She works at Chinook Winds. So.
Is the school going to give those kids credit?
Nope, we haven't. We're done talking to the school, right? Until we're blue in the face, I'm done talking to the school about this shit. That pressure is going to have to come from someplace else.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the other thing that's going to happen is the students here are going to see that, and the students in Waldport or Newport or in Toledo are going to go, hey, why not us?
Mm-hmm.
And then that's going to force the school to do something.
Mm-hmm. Do you do drug tests at all?
For
these?
Everybody.
Not for the students.
Not for the students.
No, we wouldn't be able to do that. They do have to fill out, they have to get a physical. It's the Oregon State Athletic Association, OSAA physical, the same physical they would utilize for playing football or basketball or any other sports. That's the medical that they go through. So the other things down here, backyard burning's open, ODF is burning slash burns. As we found out, and we had the conversation before the meeting here with Oregon Department of Forestry, does not permit anything that's not associated with a logging operation. So let's say Eric Creighton wants to burn 2 giant piles of stuff that he's collected.
He just couldn't do it.
He just burns it. He can call ODF and get some advice from them. We're not permitting them yet. I don't know what Cody's, I've asked him to look into how big he wants to start permitting these things. They can just burn, right? We have no authority to go fine people. ODF has the ticket book. We can't write tickets for that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We can't fine people for stuff. Now, if it gets away from them and it burns somebody else's property and we have to go put it out, yeah, they're gonna get a bill from us and they're probably gonna get some litigation from the people's trees or houses or whatever else they burned.
Yeah.
So there's just a whole process. Now, this is a change from last year. Last year, and we had this conversation at the Fire Defense Board meeting, last year ODF was much more involved in these other burns. But the new guy that's in here says, we only have authority to stuff that goes with, as long as it's with a logging operation, and it's part of the slash burn for that. So we're work, that they can do what they want to do. We're not going to permit. But I'll tell you, the first day burn opened up, the first two calls that we got were ODF permitted burns that people were calling us and complaining about.
Because of the smoke?
No, they just saw the stuff burning. Oh, there's a fire up there in the woods.
The smoke was coming across the lake.
On the first day?
I got called, they wanted to know where the fire was. They said there isn't a fire.
We purchased a couple of new stoke stretchers with wheels and handles and brakes. That was kind of a budgeted item that was requested. Those things are going to get put into service. We've applied for the safety security grant, we already talked about that. Also, a state homeland security grant, we applied for 40 tourniquets for CERT and 10 ballistic helmets to go with our PPE that we have for active threats. We did get 11 vests from the police department, some vests that they had, because they're kind of custom made. They gave us those vests, but that's only part of it. You need to have a helmet that goes with them.
Are they new vests, or they give you retired ones?
So they gave it, like Tim DeLuggage lost a little bit of weight, so we have his old vest.
Oh, okay, all right.
There's, you know, some of them are newer than other ones.
Okay.
Some police officers were only here for a couple of years and moved on.
Okay.
So what are these vests?
They're tactical bulletproof vests that we can wear. And so we only had two in the district that we got under a grant several years ago. And so now these will add an extra, if we're going on an active threat type of situation, in which we've done before, we'll have additional protective equipment that they can wear. And so
where are you putting them? How many at each?
So we'll have four here and five down south is what it came up to.
Okay.
And then Cody, Dave, and I each have one in our vehicle, so we can either wear or hand off. So.
Good.
And Tipper, the cops would come first, right?
This is not to be in a hot zone area. This is in a warm zone after the police have gone through, but you're still in an area that something bad could happen.
Okay.
And then they're also planning an active shooter type drill in December, is what Lieutenant Henderson said. So that'd be a good time to put this stuff together and utilize that. And I don't know if you've been working with him yet on that or not.
Yeah.
Put that on your radar. Station 13, I went out and so did Chief Bickerdike, but it was a hosted event for the World Oregon Visitors, and what they were here for was to talk about Echo Mountain Fire, the resilience and recovery. And so not only us, but the State Fire Marshal's Office and Oregon Department of Forestry were out there. We spent about 2 hours with people from, they were from Korea, they were from China, they were from Thailand, they were from a couple of guys from India or something like that. They were from all over the world. And this was their last stop. They had been going through the United States and stopping, and they just wanted to know how we handled things and what we did. So we spent a couple hours out there talking to them, showing off our equipment. You know, got the water tender out. They all wanted their picture taken on the water tender, things like that. So, grant for AFG, nothing yet, but the government's been shut down. We're going to start purchasing some stuff from the ODF grant. So we finished up our assistance with Corvallis Fire and helping them through Oregon State University football games. The last game was Saturday, so that's done. Expense that we have coming up, so we're going to have to buy 8 tires for the rear of 2 engines. So that's going to see that. Again, we're over budget in that line item, but I got to buy tires for that. We have to buy tires for that. If they're down enough that they're not going to be safe using them through the winter. Coming up on my radar real quick here is in January, we have to pass a resolution authorizing the district to go out for a levy, to renew our levy. So that'll come up. We can have the discussion on it. I'll put on the agenda to have a discussion about it this next month, so I make sure that we're doing the right direction and how we're going to go with that. But then the resolution will be there in January. That's the first part of it. You have to pass a resolution. We have to attach the resolution to a SEL 805 form plus our explanatory statement. My lean right now is that we're just going to renew it for the same amount. We're not going to increase it any. I think we're doing okay where we are. so we don't need to increase, but we need to maintain the people that we have. And then the very last thing is tomorrow night is the Chamber of Commerce Awards Banquet. The Fire District is getting the Community Impact Award, I found out through the grapevine. Cody's gonna go to represent the Fire District, and he needs somebody else to go with him, so I volunteered Nancy to go. It's from 6 to 8.
Update.
Six to eight.
Tomorrow?
Thursday.
Thursday, 6 to 8 at the Cultural Center.
Usually, and that's strange.
Yeah.
Weekday.
We've already paid for the $50 ticket.
Oh, my God.
So I thought that you would like to accompany Cody to that tomorrow night.
Sure, Cody, you gonna pick me up?
Yeah.
Limo?
Croissage, yeah, all the things.
See, Megan owes me, I just got her out of going.
Yeah.
Felix still have one, we can make this happen.
Yeah.
How long limo?
If you don't have any questions of me, like I said, in the back here is the number of calls that we went on. That report is in there. And because we did have some surplus, sold that last page on it. So I've
Anything from the casino?
I've used my 8 minutes of time. No, that's the other letter that's in there, so I just sent that out. We don't get that money typically until March, but it has to go in for their budgeting purposes.
Okay.
So it did get sent, did we get the signature card back from Dolores Pigley? We did send that out, return request, sign the card.
Yeah, I sent it on Friday.
Okay.
What is all public assist, what does that consist of?
Public assist calls?
Yeah, they got 26 here.
I've fallen, I can't get up. I'm stuck in the bathtub, I need help out.
Okay.
There's a lot of those.
Yeah, gravity's not getting me up off the ground usually.
Right, okay, I'm wondering what that.
Yeah, those are most of the public assists.
You all done?
Unless you have another question.
So upcoming district board member activities, December 12th is out.
Yep.
So December 20th, holiday toy and food basket deliveries. I went last year just to see how it all was being put out, only because I work Saturdays, and it's quite a fate. The garbage truck, I think, was one of the biggest that came for filling up and how they loaded it and everything, and just what a big help your son was, and amazing, you know. I'm sure there'll be more requests this year, just due to the economy going on and that, and we're still doing our food boxes at backpacks and that, and somebody, three different people have gonna give me 7 turkeys, so I have 21 turkeys coming for backpacks for next week, Thursday, Friday, and someone offered more turkeys, so we'll see how many we get. We normally do about 60 food boxes. I don't have a count yet if that's gonna go up or not, so.
Do you compare that with the people that get it from the Eagles to see if somebody's double dipping?
No, no. Because they'll only get it in November. They'll get a food box in December, but no turkey or anything.
Okay.
No.
I'll sign up.
I've got one question I was gonna ask Cody. How is your hydrant testing program going?
Crews have been out doing a little bit of it. I don't know exactly how many. Dave, do you know?
I don't.
They kind of just go out and do it, so.
Kind of a rejection?
I don't know that answer yet, to be honest with you. I'll have to do some more research. I'll get back to you next month with that. And to answer your next question, Chief, yes, your hydrants by your house are still not working.
Yeah, they're not. So there's a notice up there that the water's gonna be completely shut off all day tomorrow.
Yeah.
We're doing some water main work. So I don't think it's just gonna affect my area, the pressure zone, but I think there's gonna be a lot of other area tomorrow that's not gonna have water service.
Okay.
There's also a fire hydrant out that's got a yellow thing over it down by the park, the state park. You keep going down that street, curves, and then right on that corner, it's covered.
On East 6th?
Northeast 6th and what that other street is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Don't know about
Are you furnishing help on that when they do the testing, or is it strictly the city that's providing the manpower?
So our fire crews go out and do inspections. They have a list of what they go through. Mm-hmm. As far as flow testing and all that, it's all the city. We just basically go out and make sure we can turn them on, turn them off, get the caps off. Vegetation is cleared around it, that kind of thing.
If it needs other attention, we email the city. If it's like, hey, this thing's crusty, needs paint on it. We cleared a bunch of brush, mm-hmm. it needs to be picked up. Those are the kinds of things that the city will come in.
I'm just kind of wondering about the pumps on the trucks. When you have, I happened to see one opened up and gravel flew out of it. And
yeah.
I thought, that's not going to do any pumper.
That's your drinking water, too.
Yeah.
Just
yeah,
so you know.
So when our crews are going to hook up to one, they're trained to flush it first. So until we start seeing clear water, then we'll put it into the hose to get into the pump. So doesn't mean, still can't pick up gravel.
So the rain goop comes out, yeah.
Yeah.
Anything else? Any public comment now? Call for public comments.
I have not received any public comment. There's nobody on our meeting.
Then I need a motion for adjournment.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor? Roll call.
Nancy Oxenholm.
Yes.
Tim Beatty is absent. Eric Creighton.
Yes.
Jerry Warner.
Yep.
Dan Drayton is absent. And motion passes. Meeting adjourned at 5:02.